A lot of us pack up and head out for a week or two during the summertime to look for adventure, but for some, a campground becomes home for weeks or even months at a time. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'll talk with people who are spending their summer at an Iowa campground. We'll meet Blake Cooper, a pitcher for the Iowa Cubs, Char and Tom Perot, who are campground host and hostess at Palisades State Park, and Roger Horton, who'll be getting the State Fair campground ready for visitors. We also want to hear about your adventures. Have you ever spent the whole summer at a campground? Give us a call. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. For most of us, campgrounds are places to visit for a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks. But for some, campgrounds make the perfect summer home for weeks or even months at a time. For some people, it's about cost. For people on the edge economically, a campground can be very affordable housing. For some, it's about utility or access. For most, it's about adventure and fun. This hour, I'll talk with people who are spending the summer at various Iowa campgrounds for various reasons. We also want to hear from you this hour. Have you ever lived at a campground? Share your story. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. In a little while, I'll be talking with two campground specialists, Char and Tom Perot, who are campground host and host at Palisades State Park in Iowa. Roger Horton will be joining us later. He'll be helping to set up the State Fair campground, get it ready for fair time. But first, Blake Cooper is a pitcher for the Iowa Cubs, and so far he's having a terrific season. In the offseason, he and his wife Casey live in South Carolina, but this year, for the Pacific Coast League season, they decided they were done with dealing with leases and roommates. They're spending the summer in the Adventureland campground in Altoona in a 2006 27-foot Fleetwood Mallard camper. Hello, Blake.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And for people who aren't familiar with baseball life, as you travel around and live in different places, what do most baseball players do for housing?
Oh, it usually starts in, you know, spring training when you find out where you're going for your affiliate. I don't really think a lot of people know how many affiliates they are with each team and club. There can be 8 affiliates, and you really don't know where you're going, really, until the last day of spring training. And all of a sudden, it's a scramble to find roommates and find apartment complexes and, you know, hotels that'll do.
Right, and I know that sometimes there are families that host baseball players, so there are a bunch of different housing options, right?
Yeah, we were very fortunate with Arizona in the California League, which is high A ball. For the Arizona Diamondbacks to have a host family, but most places you have to go out and find your own place on your own, and that's really tough at times, when especially when you have a wife and you kind of want your own personal space. And you know, a lot of other guys really kind of get together and they'll put 4 guys in one room in a 2-bedroom apartment and kind of make it work. But for us, we kind of need a little more personal space.
Right. I was going to say that may be okay for a young single guy, but that doesn't sound nice for a married couple. So this year you decided to do something different. Where did you get the idea to look for a camper?
Well, we've actually talked about it from day one, whenever I went out from the College World Series to Missoula, Montana in rookie ball. But we never really got around to it, but this year we, you know, like you said before, we kind of got tired of signing leases and, you know, dealing with movements and stuff like that, and then having to, you know, really worry about things in apartments where we wasn't even staying at the time. So out here at the campground, it's kind of, you know, pay one fee, and if anything happens, we'll be reimbursed, and it's just a lot easier on us.
And how much time did you spend shopping for just the right camper for you and your wife?
We actually went and looked at one, and then we actually took a road trip up North Carolina a few hours, and we actually fell in love with that one. So we only looked at 2, and, you know, we kind of made a decision right on the spot on that one, and luckily it's worked out for us so far.
And then you had to drive it, of course, up here from South Carolina. How long did that take you?
Actually, my wife and her parents drove up. I was in spring training, so she definitely gets the Wife of the Year award for that.
Yeah. So. And how did you settle on the Adventureland campground?
We actually called a few. A lot of them were booked. There was a couple that were still open, but my wife was calling around, and she ran into this guy, and actually the guy that owns Adventureland, his nephew played, and he understood our situation, so we kind of went from there.
Now, the Adventureland campground is kind of an interesting campground to me because this is a place where a lot of people come and stay for the summer, right?
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of them work over at the Adventureland Park. We've met a lot of people that are really nice folks, and so far it's been great for us, and you know, really nice people. So
does it have sort of a small town atmosphere since people are kind of there to stay, not as many people coming and going?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it so far. I'm from a small town. There's, you know, my hometown only has, I believe, 350 people in the whole town and one stoplight. So it's really comforting for me. And like I said before, I really think that really helps me stay relaxed, and it kind of takes me away from the ball field.
Well, and it must, when you are looking for apartments or dealing with roommates, that kind of thing, if you're living with people that you are also playing ball with, baseball must be on your mind all the time.
Yeah, I really think for, you know, any athlete that you got to be able to get away from the field and kind of get it off your mind a little bit. That way you can stay relaxed, and, you know, it's something that's new to you every time you go to the park, and it's not one of those things where you're constantly thinking about it, and good or a bad day, you got to be able to go home and flush it to be able to be consistent. So,
I've heard you're a fisherman too.
Yeah, definitely. I love to. And Adventureland actually has a pond right there, so it's kind of like home for me.
So what does Casey do with her time? Because I mean, she's not interacting, I would guess, as much with other people from the team as you might be if you were in a different living situation.
Well, she goes to all the games. She enjoys watching the games, and you know, there's a lot of guys here that have wives here, and you know, they kind of hang out. They've got to know each other. But other than that, she has a online boutique shop. It's actually Etsy.com. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but
yeah.
It's something that definitely keeps her busy. So.
Oh, that's good. And with your RV, does it feel like home now?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I remember looking at campers, and you know, at first I thought it wouldn't really be that big of a deal to have a slide out on our camper, and you know, she was really pesty about getting a camper with a slide, and we actually ended up doing that, and good for me. I'm glad she made us do that. So,
right. And then that means that when you park, you can kind of extend the camper out and,
yes,
and make a bigger space.
Get a little more room on it. So,
well, you know, in I read about you in the Des Moines Register, and in the article it said that you and Casey wanted more space than you would have in other living situations, and with, you know, with your baseball schedule, and I thought, really, more space? But for you, it has been kind of a freedom and more of your own room, right?
Yeah, it definitely has. Whenever we were in apartments or hotels, we had to share space with other guys, and we normally took the main room or the, you know, the master bedroom, and we had a little bit of space, but we had to share the kitchen and, you know, all the appliances that way together. So, but with the camper now, it's kind of our own space, and we kind of get to do what we want to. So,
now you have been having a terrific season so far. Do you think that this kind of living situation is helping you with that?
I mean, like I've said, I think that, you know, for any athlete, you have to be comfortable, and I definitely feel more comfortable this year than I have in the past, as far as, you know, feeling like home. And everybody's comfortable when they feel like they're at home. So,
are any of the other guys feeling jealous?
Actually, I've had a few guys that, you know, said next year they're doing it. So we'll see.
Maybe there'll be a whole iCubs camp at Adventureland.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Now, there has been talk about the possibility that you might get called up to Chicago. What would happen then?
Well, I try not to think about that, you know, and when that time comes, we'll make an adjustment. But that's definitely something I've dreamed for as a little kid, and even going to college and all of a sudden getting drafted, and now I'm in a position. But I know that if I continue to do the things I need to do, then everything else will take care of itself.
And they probably don't have a large campground right next to Wrigley Field.
I'm sure we can find somewhere.
Well, Blake, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And best of luck to you. I hope you do get a call from Chicago in the not-too-distant future. Blake Cooper is a pitcher for the Iowa Cubs. He and his wife are spending the summer in the Adventureland Campground in Altoona. And also with me this hour, I have two campground specialists. Char and Tom Perot are the host and hostess at Palisade State Park Campground in Iowa. And they are no strangers to campground hosting. This is something they've been doing since 2009. Char and Tom, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And now you guys actually live in campgrounds all year round, right?
Correct.
Right.
Where do you spend your winters?
In Alamo, Texas.
All right. How long have you been doing this, spending the all year round at campgrounds?
Since 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it must be agreeing with you.
Oh, definitely.
Well, so far.
Well, and when Blake was talking about camping in the Adventureland campground, I saw you both nod your head. So you actually have companions that you spend the winter with in Texas who also spend their summers there?
Yes.
Yes.
And our previous chaplain from our park in South Texas, he and his wife, Pastor Gregory and his wife Karen, actually live there, and they spend their summers there.
Now, for people who don't know what a campground host or hostess is, can you explain it for us? What do you do?
Well, if we do, then they'd want our job.
No.
Actually, most of the time we're there to answer questions and hand out maps and stuff for them to go on the trails and the rock climbs and then keep the bathrooms clean. And that's basically it.
And you actually do the maintenance?
No.
Well, we have to load the tissue in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And if it needs attending, we do. Because to Tom and I, it's our living room and our bathroom. And so we want people to be comfortable there.
All right. Well, and we will talk more about what it's like to be a campground host and hostess in just a few minutes. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about living at campgrounds this summer all around Iowa. And we'd love to hear from you as well. Have you ever spent the entire summer at a campground? We'd love to hear about your adventures, your stories. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me right now, I have Tom and Char Perot. They are the host and hostess at Palisade State Park Campground. And also joining us in just a few minutes, Roger Horton, who will be helping getting the State Fair campground ready for fair time. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking with people who are spending their summer living at campgrounds, various campgrounds around the state of Iowa for various reasons. We'd love to hear from you as well. Have you ever spent a couple of months at a campground? Let us know what your experiences have been. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me right now, Char and Tom Perot, they are host and hostess at the Palisade State Park Campgrounds. Now, we talked before the break, you've been living in an RV, so you've been basically camping year-round since 2004, 2005.
Right.
When did you first start hosting at a campground?
2005.
No, that was in New Mexico.
Yes.
2005? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right, and how did you get involved in it?
We were camping there because our kids were in New Mexico at the time, and started talking to the people that owned the place, and they needed some help, so we said that we'd help them out. So we did that for a year, and then we, of course, moved to Iowa.
All right, so they, you said if anybody heard what you did, they'd want your job, but it sounds like they really were looking for people to do this job.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you got to be able to deal with people without any hassles, and it's so much fun there to meet different people that come in all the time. and we just have a good time doing it.
Well, and you mentioned, okay, you're somewhat in charge of the bathrooms. And you also hand out information for people who need information. But what is a typical day like as a campground host and hostess? What do you do?
First thing we do is we check out our restrooms to make sure that they are in presentable order, because like we say, to us, they represent our personal bathrooms. We walk through the park to check and make sure that, you know, everyone is having a good time, that if somebody's pulled out, we know that we now have a vacant lot.
Yeah, we go around, we check the fire pits to make sure that they're not overfull or garbage laying around, and we pick that up. And most time underneath the pits need to be cleaned out. We just let the ranger know, and he sends somebody down to do it. And, I mean, they're really good people to work with and work for. It's just awesome. It's a nice thing.
Do you organize any activities? Do you have coffees or?
No, that's not what us, what we do
don't.
There.
Yeah. A lot of times on the weekend, if there's a lot of children, our Nana Papa status grows quite considerably. And we may have water balloon fights, or we might have hikes with 10 more kids besides our two grandchildren or something, or football games or soccer games or something, but nothing is planned. Everything is for the campers to come and enjoy themselves, to relax, and Nana and Papa's is always open.
So you get to know people pretty well, it sounds like.
Yes, we do.
And do you have any tricks up your sleeve for a rainy day at the campground?
Yeah, sit inside and read a book and be quiet.
So that's not an invitation to send your kids on over.
No.
No. But Nana has been known to go out and splash in puddles with them, so it's just rain.
Well, and speaking of grandkids, so was it your grandkids that brought you to Iowa?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They live 5 miles away in Mount Vernon, and so we have a lot of sleepovers, and sometimes their mom and dad have to stop at the camper to see their children because it may be several days before they get to see them for them to go back home. But it's a big draw.
Yeah. And did you start looking for a campground that you could host at because of where your grandkids were?
Actually, no. Our son was looking for a place to live around Mount Vernon, and we camped at the state park in Palisade. And there was another camp host there, but they said they're only there temporary. So we mentioned to our son, I said, why don't you apply for camp hosts? And this year, while your house is being ready, you could still be a camp host. So he did. The next year, we said, well, you know, why don't we do that? Because the kids are going to be here. So we filed an application, and we got the job.
And what do you need to put on an application? What are the qualifications to be a camp host?
You need to speak very, you know, candidly with people. You need to let them know what's happening. Of course, there's a background check that's done. We had to list any experience that we did have. We had to make an agreement, of course, that, you know, we do this voluntarily. We are not paid for doing this. And I think there was a couple other things that, you know, the state laws that we, of course, that we have to abide by.
Yeah.
So.
And since this is not paid, but you don't pay anything to be.
No, we do not have to pay for our rent in the park, and they do not pay us. We have no exchange of anything. We enjoy the summer, and so far they enjoy us there.
Now, how different is the environment at the Palisade State Park campground compared to the campground where you spend your winters? It sounds like the winter campground is probably a place for more long-term residents.
Yes.
Right.
The winter one is actually, it's a mobile and RV park, and it's 55 and older, and so we are very active recycled teenagers. And so there's everything. If you get bored at our park in the wintertime, it's your own fault because there's so much going on.
All right. So lots of planned activities.
Yes.
Yeah, there really is.
Things to do.
A lot of things happening there. So.
So is it quite a shift then to go to a state park campground where there isn't that kind of structure and there isn't that kind of community?
There's still a lot to do in a state park with, you know, with hiking, checking out the river. There's a lot of wildlife, deer, raccoon, rock climbing, just outdoorsy, very relaxing things. So it's not like a quilting club or a golfing club or things like that. a lot of bonfires, you know, with the campers, with us. So it's a much more relaxed atmosphere than our winter months.
Right.
And with people at a state fair or state park campground, I mean, they're coming and going a lot more often.
Correct.
I'm sure there are people who come to the same campground every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So do you develop relationships with people from year to year?
Yes, we do.
Some were sending cards back and forth. Some were emailing back and forth. Some were texting back and forth.
Some we meet somewhere, visit for a weekend or something.
We might be traveling and all of a sudden run into one of the couples that had been at the campground with us during the summertime.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we are going to welcome someone else into this conversation, but Shar and Tom, stay with us. I'm talking with Shar and Tom Perot. They are host and hostess at Palisade State Park Campground. And now there's another campground in Iowa that right now it is open and you can make a reservation. But I tell you what, come mid-July and definitely in August, it's a pretty exclusive club. That is the State Fair Campground. And Roger Horton is a longtime State Fair camper. He also volunteers to get the campground set up every year. Hello, Roger.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you.
Now, how long have you been camping at the State Fair Campground?
Continuously for 22 years. And before that, we did it off and on. Not every year, but, you know, just off and on. But the last 22 years, we've been there continually.
And when do you actually move into the campground every year?
I will move in on the 24th of July.
All right. And as I mentioned, you volunteer to help set things up for the other campers that are coming. And I know it becomes a very crowded place. What kinds of things do you do?
Well, when we first get there, we have 2,700 permanent spots that are reserved, and we have to lay those out, and they have a steel peg in each one of the four corners, and we paint a white circle around that, and then we go back and connect the circles with a white line. Then we go back and we put a flag on the right-hand front corner with their name and their lot number. Then we go back and put a stick in the electrical box where they plug in, and that'll take us, we hope to get done in 6 days, but we have one extra, so we have to be done by the seventh day because the campers will start coming in on the eighth day after we're there.
All right. And the State Fair Campground is about 160 acres, right?
Yes.
And these spots must be packed in pretty tight to fit 2,700 permanent spots in there.
Most our campers are 18 to 20 foot wide, and they'll vary in length, and I don't think we have any over 40 feet and a lot in that 20 to 35 foot range.
Wow. Now, you mentioned you've been camping there continually for the last 22 years. What does it take to get a spot at the State Fair Campground?
Right now, if you want a spot, you want to send in January 1 and fill out a reservation form and do it every year. And it's going to take 10 years or more to get a spot. It's a high demand for those spots.
All right. So as you apply every year, your name
will move down on the list. And if you have a smaller camper, you're going to have a better spot because, you know, if you have a 40-foot camper, you know, we don't have that many spots available. If one comes available, it may not be suitable for a 40-foot. But we keep doing it, and then we have a lot that we let people move into who do not have permanent spots, and they can come in, and they sit there for a week, and then on Sunday before the fair opens up, we let 10 at a time go up at 1 o'clock, and they fill into spots that are not taken. And we also rent some grounds from neighbors, and we have dry camping for people who want to come in there.
Dry camping, what does that mean?
Well, they will have no sewer, water, or electricity. There will be a few who get along the fence might get water and electricity, but most of them will be just dry camping, like I say, no water, sewer, or electricity.
Now, you used to camp at the State Fair Campgrounds also when you were a kid?
Yes.
And did your family have a regular spot when you were a kid, or was this
luck of
the draw?
Back then, I was just whoever came in, get your spot.
Okay.
So the first time I went down, we went down in a livestock truck and had a tarp over the top and a tarp off the side and two tents, one for boys and one for girls. And that was in probably about 1950, I think it was.
Wow. And so as an adult, what made you want to go back?
It's like a second family. You get down there and the first day, it's like a reunion. And you get to know people and you look forward to seeing them come back. And you just build great friendships that last through the years. We first went in there, and when we started like 22 years ago, some small kids started calling us grandpa and grandma, so we were the State Fair grandparents. And two of those now are married and have little children. And once in a while, we'll get together after the fair is over, and it's just a like a big family reunion. Everybody gets back in there. When somebody comes in, you help each other set up and get in. And I guess if you've never camped, you can't really understand how it is to look forward to seeing each other.
Right. And now you spend 5 weeks there every year. So that, of course, is leading up to the state fair. Do you leave as soon as the fair's over?
We stay till the Monday after the fair. Like this year, it'll be the 24th. And then we tear down and move home.
All right. And where's home for you?
Woodward.
All right. So not that far away.
No, it isn't.
And you helped to set things up. Is it difficult to get on the list of people who can help set up for the fair?
You need to talk to Mr. Fincham. He's the man in charge of the campground during the state fair. And there's a little bit of turnover every year. And he's the one who picks the people to work for him.
And what are the benefits of being on that crew?
Well, it's just, it's great to meet the people. We get to come in early, and it's just like a big family reunion. You look forward to get working with each other, and the people you see come in, and you meet new people every year. And the only sad thing about it, as it goes on, you meet people, and over the years they come older, and the next thing, one of them comes back and one doesn't, and then a year or two later they do not come back due to health. And that's the only sad part. But other than that, it's just a great thing, and everybody looks forward, and we just enjoy working up there together.
Now, once everybody does move into the State Fair campground, do you have coming and going during the fair, or do people pretty much come and stay for the whole fair?
We have some that come in and stay the first weekend, and when they pull out, a camper can come right in and take their spot if it's vacant, because we will get in over 3,500 campers during the 11 days.
Wow. All right, 2,700 permanent spots and 3,500 campers in that 11 days?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the atmosphere at the campground like?
It's just a big reunion. Everybody's happy, and we have a lighting contest, I think, on a Thursday night, and quite a few people get involved in that. And you just look forward. It's just a big reunion. You go down on the fairgrounds and see each other and come back, and like my daughter and my grandkids will come and stay because they're going to one of the concerts, and it's very rewarding. I mean,
since you are a long-term camper, I understand that you've put a lot of work into creating the perfect spot for yourself. What does your spot look like every year on the campground?
Well, we have a very, very good spot, and we're the first camper you see as you come through the gate. And we're actually sitting on the outside in a parking lot, not in the campground, where our portable laundromat used to be. So we were down about 2 weeks ago, and we plant cannas to come up so they'll be in bloom during the fair. And then my wife 1 year said she wanted a white picket fence, so we put a white picket fence around our camper. And in front of our camper, we have two of the pop-up 10x10 tents you see at craft shows. And in there we have a refrigerator, and we have our grill and our patio equipment, and we have outdoor carpet along the side of the motorhome and in front of the motorhome. And we'll take down between 40 and 50 pots of flowers, and we'll always have a fountain. We try to get different fountains for each year, and it's just open to anybody that comes in. Anybody comes in, they're tired, they're welcome to sit down, turn a fan on, even if we're not there, and cool off before they start up the hill. And we were very fortunate to get this spot. And my wife says it's kind of like when you walk into an office and the receptionist goes out of her way to help you. And when you leave, you have a very good impression. So when we have people come to the state fair, we want them to come in and leave with a very good impression of our state fair, and to leave it thinking that we have the best campground and we're the best state fair.
How long does it take you to move all that stuff to your campsite and set things up?
Well, we have about 4 to 5 people will help us, and we can get it pretty well set up in 4 hours, and then they will go home, and then the wife and I will spend the rest of the day kind of rearranging and rinsing things off. And like this year, we spent 4 days painting the fence before we even come down.
Wow. So, okay, once you get done with the state fair in August, do you start thinking about the next year right away?
We start before the fair is over thinking what we're going to do next year. We'll see things on the ground, certain flowers we like, or we'll see another camp spot, looks very nice, and we'll do this. But when we come home, main thing is to wash everything up and get it put away, and then we'll head to the Clay County Fair to see that.
Oh, wow. Do you camp there, too?
Yes.
And but not as elaborately.
No, just the motorhome goes up and that's it.
And when, you know, you have this spot, you've had it for 22 years. Do all of the people around you, are they long-term State Fair campers too?
Yes. Some are a lot longer than us. And once you get your spot, as long as you renew your reservation every year in May, it's your spot as long as you renew. And then if you decide not to come back, you give it up, then Mr. Fincham will assign it to somebody else.
Can you pass it on to someone else in your family?
It's happening. You can. They do that.
All right. maybe not always explicitly.
Right.
So, right. Well, Roger, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right. Roger Horton, he helps to get the State Fair campground ready for other campers every year and spends the entire duration of the fair there as well. We're talking about long-term living at campgrounds this hour, and we'd love to hear from you and hear about your adventures. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Char and Tom Perreault are also still with us. They are host and hostess at the Palisades State Park campground, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about long-term living at Iowa campgrounds. If that's something you've ever done, we'd love to hear your stories. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Maybe you've been a long-term camper at the State Fair campgrounds. You're welcome to join the conversation and tell us about that as well. 866-780-9100. Char and Tom are here. They are host and hostess at Palisades State Park Campground. And Roger Horton is here. He spends 5 weeks every summer at the State Fair Campground. And Roger, when Char and Tom were listening to you talk about bringing all of those flowers, Char, you used to travel with quite a few plants as well.
Oh, yes. I think we had 10 or 12 large size pots that we would transport from South Texas to Iowa. And Tom got to the point where we are not hauling flowers.
I even rented, even bought a trailer to haul them in. I quit that.
Wow. So how many do you bring with you now?
We only bring two pots with us, and the rest stay at our son and daughter-in-law's, and then we reclaim them in the spring and bring them out to the campground.
Oh, wow. Well, Roger, how did you get started with planting cannas and taking all those flowers to the campground?
Well, you want it to look very nice when people come. And like I said, it's the first one you see when you walk in a campground. We want everybody to have a great impression. We love the fair. And the fairground opens up April 15th to October 15th for campers. So you can come in other than the state fair and camp there. And there's something going on at that state fair every weekend. There's auto races on Friday nights. There's horse shows. And it's a great place to go. And it's maintained very nice. And but we just enjoy doing it. And we look forward to it.
Well, and it's such an urban campground. That's something that I find very interesting about it, because when I think about going camping, I want to, you know, go get into nature. But, I mean, Roger, this is really a part of Des Moines.
It is. But you get up in the campground, and we have deer. We've had turkey. You see all the wild animals, and it's very peaceful up there, very quiet. And we need other people to come in and use it other than just during the fair. Because it's a great facility. They maintain it very well, very secure with the patrolmen we have there. It's just a great asset to the state. And my wife and I have gone to other state fairs, and we're the only state fair that has a large campground like we do.
Really?
We're very blessed, and we take too many things for granted, and we don't realize how fortunate we are.
It's a very special place. And Char and Tom, how big is the campground that you are at in Palisades?
We have 45 sites. 44 are campsites and 45 is a group site for Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, that kind of deal.
And do you have big groups come through during the summer?
Yes. We had last weekend, we had 50 on the group site. And, of course, all the rest of the sites were booked full way before the the weekend even started.
Right. Memorial Day weekend must be one of the biggest weekends.
Yes. And you can go online and you can reserve up to 6 months in advance on the reservable sites. We do have some that are non-reservable that are first come, first serve. You just pull in and you get those. But if you have a specific site that you want, you can reserve up to 6 months in advance. Same thing. We have a beautiful lodge out there for weddings, graduations, all kinds of things. So
when you heard Roger talking about 2,700 spots, 45 sounds pretty manageable, right?
We like that.
Roger, I think it's wonderful, but our eyes became very large when we heard 2,700.
Well, Mr. Fincham does a great job, and most of us have worked there quite a few years, and it really flows together very well. And on the holidays, the State Fair is never full, so if you can't get into another park, you can always come to the State Fairgrounds, and 160 acres under oak trees, and it's grassy. It's a very nice place to park.
Do you ever find yourself heading down there not during your 5 weeks, Roger? Do you go check it out?
Oh, sure. We've been to the Pork Expo. You go down and have the art in the park, because in the very industry building, they have a big display there. No, we go down other times during the year, and we're down there at least twice a week right now watering flowers when it's not raining.
Well, sure. And when you go visit, do you always go to the same spot?
No, we'll find another spot. I mean, sometimes we do, we'll pull on ours, and then sometimes we go to a different area and park. And
Now, you also, do you have your own little grocery store for other campers?
Yes, during the fair there's a grocery store, and they have the basic things for you. And it's very handy because you run out of milk or bread or lunch meat, they have it, potato chips. And very convenient ice cream. The paper's sold there every day, ice. And it's really an asset to the fair.
Well, and I know what fair prices are like when you shop at the grocery store in the campgrounds. Is it more like a normal grocery store or like buying stuff at the fair?
No, it's a little higher because they have to buy it and bring it in and resell it. And but it's worth it not to have to leave the fairground, because with the amount of campers we have, it gets very congested and driving in and out. And they're entitled to make a profit, so they'll be there to service the next year. And they're very, I think, reasonable considering for what they're providing for us.
Well, and you obviously have created a lot of relationships with the people who camp around you at the State Fair campgrounds. What do you most look forward to? Is it the fair or is it the time at the campgrounds?
Well, campgrounds is very important to us, but also it's very important to meet the people who come to the fair. And you build on lasting relationships. We're invited back to some of the kids' graduations, their weddings, like this. We got a phone call one Saturday morning. It was raining, and a lady asked us to do a favor. And I said, "What is it?" She said, "Tonight is prom night. The kids had a party bus rented, and they backed out, and the girls are crying." And she said, "Could you go to Altoona and pick up 12 kids in your motorhome and bring them to Webster City?" We said, "Sure."
Oh, wow.
We had more fun taking those 12 kids to Webster City after they ate that night than they did, I think. It was just a blast for us.
Oh, that's terrific. And do you meet people from out of state as well?
Sure. We get them from all over. You know, we have a couple come from Illinois. One time we had one come from Alaska, and we've had them come different round. We have a great state fair. My wife and I have probably been to 22 or 23 of the state fairs, and we think we're the best.
Well, many people in Iowa agree with you, and probably a few people elsewhere as well. Roger, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
Roger Horton is a longtime state fair camper, 22 years without stopping, and of course a few years before that as well. He spends 5 weeks at the campground there every summer. Still with me, Shar and Tom Perot. They are host and hostess at Palisades State Park Campground. And a lot of the stories that Roger was sharing about making friends and forming these really lifelong bonds with people, I know that's something that you've experienced as well. Can you tell me about some of the people that you've met through being a host or hostess at the campground?
It was really unusual. 2 years ago, a gentleman and his wife came through, and they had Texas plates on, and we asked him where he was from. And it turned out that he has a photography company, and we met him in 2005 when he took our grandson's picture for the first time in the mountains of New Mexico.
Oh, wow. So that's an amazing coincidence.
Yes, definitely. And we have a couple we met from Arizona, and they came during the middle of the week, and there wasn't a lot of campers, and they just clicked with us and with our grandchildren, and so the grandchildren were teaching them games, and they were teaching us games, and we talk about going to a place we haven't gone to, and the next thing we know, something's in the mail or email that they've already been there. You've got to check all these things out. And so just like he had said, you know, it's like your family just expands every summer because you meet someone, some keep in touch, some choose not to, which is fine, but you might see them again at the campground. So it's kind of nice to have a big extended, we call it our Iowa family and our Texas families.
When we get back to Texas, it's like going home for a week, you know, but it's like old friends. And most of them are from Iowa anyway, Midwestern people. So it's nice, just like it is when we're at the campsite here.
When do you usually move in to the campsite here?
Right around the 15th of May, and we leave sometime around either the latter part of September or first part of October.
So that first part and that last part, is it pretty empty at the campground?
No,
the first part is pretty full, actually, and so when we got here the first weekend, it was pretty well booked. The last part of October, it can quiet down a little bit, last part of September, but it's not that quiet. It still gets people there until the middle of October when it starts cool off a little bit.
But what about during the weeks? I mean, do you just pretty much see people on weekends then?
No. Sometimes our weeks are just as busy as our weekends. It just depends. You know, we'll think, oh, my goodness, we only have two reservations, and all of a sudden we get a new reservation list, and we have one site left.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you don't try to guess it because you never know.
No.
You know, just something might be going on, something might not be going on. People might have just gotten new trailers or mobile motor homes, and they want to come out and try them out. So it's continuous.
We get a lot of people from Mount Vernon, Lisbon, Tipton. They all come in because they're pretty close. So we get a lot of them, and we know quite a few of them, so that makes it kind of fun.
Well, and so you have access to the reservation list, and you keep track of that?
Well, we don't have to keep track of it, but the park ranger provides us with a reservation list. So we know, so when the campers come in, if there's a question as to who goes into what side, we have the reservation list showing last names, what date they'd reserved for. And so we do get that. So that helps us a lot. And then, of course, we post cards that show that it's reserved. The site is reserved for what specific person.
All right, so that's part of your responsibility.
Yes.
To do that as well.
Yeah, sometimes they park in the wrong spot.
Ah.
And so we have to make sure they're in the right spot before they set up, preferably, and then it works out pretty good that way.
And what's your favorite thing about this park?
Being close to the grandkids.
Sure.
Actually, it's very well groomed, and it looks like your front yard, and it's just homey. It feels good.
And the park manager and the employees that work there are just awesome. The young people are like older grandchildren for us, you know, and there's joking back and forth and teasing and of course the peace and quiet, and we love the atmosphere for our grandchildren to experience while they're out there too.
Yeah, there's a lot of deer and turkeys around there also, so people see animals all the time. So and of course the hiking trails are just fantastic.
Is that something you've always enjoyed, spending time in the outdoors?
Oh, yes.
Yes. We've been camping for 47
years.
7 years.
So when it was time to make the decision about living in an RV, that was...
Wasn't hard.
No. Not difficult for you. How old are your grandkids?
Our grandson, Clayton, is 10 today. Our granddaughter, Amara, just turned 7 in February. Okay. And we have a brand new granddaughter who's 1 month old today.
Wow.
Yes.
So this has really been, I mean, you've been doing this since 2009, right? At Palisades?
Oh, Palisades, yes.
All right. So this has really been a huge part of their childhoods.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Clayton started before he was 3 hiking. Amara was 6 months old when we started hiking with her on the trails.
Wow.
And they know all of them. Yes.
So as the older one, you know, gets to be 10 years old, have his interests in what he wants to do at the state park changed?
It's getting more technical. He's a child that's in the gifted and talented program, and so he's into checking out plants now as to how they grow and the osmosis that happens. He's more into the biological field this year.
Okay.
Last year,
much more of a scientific study.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, and he wants to get a cure that Grandpa's hiking, so I got to go hiking.
And Amara's just into picking flowers.
As many children that age
yes.
are.
Yes.
So every year we hear from the DNR that they're looking for some campground hosts, but it sounds like once you get that spot, so you can just renew as a campground host every year, or how does that work?
Well, if you do your job and they want you to come back, yeah. That's how it works.
So when do you get an invitation? When do you make that decision?
Oh, well, they will ask us at the end of the year if we're considering coming back the next year. And then throughout the summer, they do take and keep in touch with us to make sure that, you know, nothing has changed, because otherwise they would have to post it in order to, you know, find someone to fill in behind you. And things do happen where, you know, people who have been long-term camp hosts are no longer able to come back. So We always have the same words: if you're willing to have us back, we'll be back. And then we check just before it's time to come back if we're still welcome to come back.
But you feel pretty confident about it.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. It's just kind of a running standing joke between us and the park ranger, Jim Henson, that, you know, well, if we're welcome to come back.
Now, you guys are the only host and hostess at Palisades,
correct?
Because this is a smaller campground.
That's correct.
At some of the other campgrounds, they have more than one host, though, right?
They do. They might have two couples. I believe there's one park that might have three couples because they are so vast. You know, they have a lot more bathrooms. They have a lot more facilities, a lot more campsites. And it's almost impossible for one couple to cover the ones that have the larger quantity of sites.
Now, obviously, you guys are a bit of social butterflies. So you enjoy that part of being host and hostess. Do you ever get to meet the other hosts and hostesses at campgrounds around Iowa?
We do. The Department of Natural Resources is wonderful about putting on a one-day it's like a seminar for all the campground host and hostesses to come to. And they will have a speaker, we'll have a meal, we get to intermingle with the different ones, and we'll, you know, read about them in our Iowa Outdoors magazine or something. And it's like, oh, cool. And of course, we have pictures taken. And so it's kind of nice. Another family to add to our group.
Well, and when you are down in Texas, you mentioned that some of the people at your campground in Texas come up to Adventureland Park. Do you talk about where everybody's going during the summer?
Oh, definitely. And we keep in touch, and sometimes we have reunions. Let's see, the last one, I believe, was close to Ames, Iowa. And one of the camp couples from down there arranged everything, and whoever's in Iowa shows up for the Iowa reunion. And so we do keep in touch.
But that takes you away from your hosting.
Well, we are allowed a day or two off.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Char and Tom Perot are longtime host and hostess at Palisade Kepler State Park Campground near Cedar Rapids. And we've been talking about long-term camping in Iowa this hour. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can email us anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about things you've heard on the air. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the show. Email address, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.